for the Sunday School Christmas program in the evening next Sunday and this Sunday, continuing studies in Revelation. And we're happy that our brother Joe Asavian is here this morning. He is still on our prayer list. As long as he's got crutches, we'll try to keep him on the prayer list. He fractured one of the bones near his hip, and so we're happy that he is able to be with us this morning. Continue to pray about and plan on attending our Christmas Eve service and our New Year's Eve service. More details on the back of your brochure. Brother Mike, if you would minister to us, please. Thank you.
Just one other very quick announcement. The Believers Bible Conference, formerly known as Rise Up, but we ran out of Rise Up and this and Rise Up and that, so new name, same format, will be on in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I am sure that you can fly from Vancouver to Nashville, and so we'd encourage you, be nice to have some representatives from Vancouver at the conference. I'd like you to turn with me, please, two readings. First of all, both very short, from Acts chapter 10 is the first reading, and just one verse, actually, Acts 10 and verse 36, Acts 10, 36, and then we'll be looking at Luke's Gospel chapter 2, Acts 10, verse 36, a marvelous, marvelous verse. It says this: "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And Luke's Gospel now, chapter 2, and I want to read verses 10 through 14. And actually, in both sessions today, we want to do some meditations from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and particularly the message that the shepherds heard and aspects of that message. So first of all, verse 10 of Luke 2 down to verse 14. Luke 2, verse 10, it says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And God will bless that reading from his precious word. And I just want to think about this idea of peace on earth, because it's quite evident that even though the Lord Jesus came specifically with the view of peace on earth, goodwill towards men, it seems like peace on earth is in short supply in as we come to the end of 2015. It's not a very peaceful world, is it? So what went wrong? Why are we not experiencing peace on earth? And what I want to do, and I'm going to give you my outline right away because I'm not used to speaking for 25 minutes. Usually my introduction takes 25 minutes. So I'm going to give you the outline in case I don't get there, okay? And it's a very simple outline. Longing for peace, liar brings peace, Lord brings peace, okay? Longing for peace, liar brings peace, Lord brings peace. And there is a longing for peace on earth. Right now, there's a great longing for peace on earth. People realize something's not right with our world. And it's scary what's going on. And it tells us in the Bible that men's heart are going to fail them for fear. And we're living in those kind of days. And yet there's been this longing for peace for a long time. In fact, the United Nations, originally was called the League of Nations, came about after the First World War, the 1914-18 war. And during that war, it was a terrible war in the sense that modern technology and man's inhumanity to man seemed to come together at that point. And everybody said it was the war to end all wars. And as a result of that terrible war and the terrible loss of life, the League of Nations came into being. And of course, their purpose was to stop future wars. They didn't really accomplish much success, because by 1939, once again, the world was at war, which continued through 1945. And interestingly enough, even prior to that outbreak of war in 1939, an English politician, very distinguished gentleman called Neville Chamberlain, some of you may remember this, some of you history buffs like myself, even though you weren't around, would remember it. And he came back from Germany with what was called the Munich Agreement. And this is what he said: peace in our times. And while he was speaking, Hitler was preparing to invade Poland. It didn't last very long, did it? And so as a result of the Second World War, what we call the United Nations came into being. They've been in existence for 70 years, the United Nations. Just celebrated their 70th anniversary recently. And during the 70 years of the anniversary, or 70 years of the existence of the United Nations, there have been 150 wars and over 100 million casualties. So they're not doing very well, are they? And they're not going to. And the interesting thing is that in the United Nations, they actually have a scripture text on the wall of the United Nations. That's quite remarkable to think of, that they would have a scripture text. And this is the scripture text. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and verse 4. And this is what it says: "He shall judge among the nations, and they shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And actually, they don't quote the whole verse. They miss out the bit, "He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many peoples." But they've got the bit about swords and plowshares and all that kind of thing, because they don't want to acknowledge that he will reign amongst the nations. Anybody remember a Russian president called Khrushchev? He actually visited this country, well, they're not United States, and he went to a John Deere factory in Des Moines, Iowa. And he saw Isaiah's prophecy partially fulfilled in that factory, because the John Deere tractor factory was used in World War II to make machine gun bullets. And he said, "Look, they're turning swords into plowshares." And amazing that that Russian man would even know the scripture at all, isn't it? But he remembered that scripture and mentioned it. But you know, the world wants peace, no doubt about it, but it wants a peace without righteousness. And I want to just emphasize this, that you cannot have peace without righteousness. What does the Bible say? "There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked." No peace if there's no righteousness. And so that's the problem. In fact, after the terrible recent events in Paris, many people gathered and they were singing a song written by John Lennon. Now, it's not often that I quote John Lennon from the Beatles in my sermons. And I forgive me if this offends you, but the song is Imagine. And it's interesting how this has become kind of the anthem of world peace, this song. But I want you to listen to the lyrics a little bit, and I'm sorry, this is the only time I'm going to defile your minds, but I want you just to get the idea of what the world is looking for. He says, "Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today." I find it frightening to imagine a world in which there's no heaven and hell and people just live for today. You see, if there's no heaven or hell, it means there's no accountability. And people just living for today mean they don't care about consequences and they don't care. Actually, you don't have to imagine that anymore. because it's all around us. But somehow in his mind, he thinks if we can get rid of heaven, get rid of hell, and just have people living for today, it will bring peace. It's delusional. It's absolutely delusional. He says, nothing to kill or die for, no religion to. You see, in his mind, it's all about the problem is religion. If you just get rid of religion, a world without religion, we'll have a peaceful world. And I'm not going to say any more about the song. All the stanzas are basically saying the same thing. It's a world without God, a world without religion, a world without accountability, just people living for today. But the problem with this song, it ignores the real root cause of trouble on planet Earth. And the trouble on planet Earth is because there's trouble in your heart and my heart. It's a sin problem. We live in a world where men are preoccupied with self-gratification and they're sinners. And the problem is a huge sin problem. But anyway, basically all we need to know is that the world is longing for peace. It really does want peace, but it doesn't want righteousness. It wants a peace without righteousness, and it's a delusional aim because without righteousness there can be no peace, right? And so, but there actually, in a measure, there will be a short time in history where they will succeed, because we want to think about the liar brings peace. Everybody knows that the root of a lot of today's problems in the world is a little country in the Middle East called Israel. In fact, the Bible says in Zechariah 12 that that little piece of real estate will be a burdensome stone to all the nations. And it is. It's a burden to the nations. And that burden of the Jewish problem is hanging over the world. What do we do with this piece of real estate surrounded by hostile enemies that want to wipe them off the face of the earth? And they all recognize if we could somehow solve that problem, we'll bring peace. They recognize that. And a man is coming who will temporarily seem to be able to solve that problem. And boy, what a hero this man will be for the world. He will be on Time magazine, if there's still print when he is around. Maybe he'll be on the internet edition. And he will be the man of the, not only the year, he'll be the man of history. Daniel's gospel, Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 23. Let me just read a few verses about this man. It says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. In other words, this man, he'll have tremendous power, but actually there's a power behind the throne, a satanic power. It won't be his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, and through his policy also shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Is that an interesting statement? By peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So here's a man coming, and by peace he will destroy many. He will make a peace deal with the nation of Israel that will guarantee their safety for 7 years, a covenant for a week of years he will make. And interestingly enough, the world will be just thrilled about this event. And in fact, they're going to say, when they cry peace and safety. And that's what the world's going to say, peace and safety. But sadly, the rest of the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 says, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You see, the world will run after this man. Revelation 6, and it sounds like you're going through Revelation, so you're all a panel of experts if you've got to chapter 6. But Revelation 6 kind of lays out clearly the coming of this man who will conquer. And Revelation 6, verse 1, it says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And the idea is that a man's coming, and actually there's another man on a white horse in this very book who is Christ. And this man is Antichrist. See, Satan is a good counterfeiter. He's going to send his counterfeit before the real thing comes. And he's going to come, and he's conquering, it says, and conquering and to conquer, and he's got a bow, but it doesn't tell you he's got any arrows. And the idea is that he's coming and he's conquering peacefully. How do I know that that's what that really means? Well, the next verse says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. The implication is the first rider did bring peace. The second rider will remove peace from the earth. So it's going to be a short-lived peace brought by this man who the world will acknowledge to be the great hero of humanity, bringing peace to the Middle East, but it will be short-lived. Short-lived in lots of different ways. I believe that during that period, after the peace deal is made with Israel, the book of Ezekiel talks about an invasion of armies led by Russia and Iran and Libya, and all these nations are going to pour into the land of Israel, the Battle of Gog and Magog. It says they're going to come to a land of unwalled villages. People gathered out of the nations who to a place that was once desolate, and they're going to come when there's no, like in Israel, is it a land of unwalled villages now? What are they doing in Israel right now? They're building big walls, aren't they? Right? But this is going to be a time of peace. This attack will come. Anyway, we don't want to focus all our attention on that, because all I want you to see is there's a longing for peace. There's a day coming when the liar will bring peace, but it will be short-lived. But then, the Lord will bring peace. The Lord will bring peace. Back in the book of Judges, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 6, verse 23, a man called Gideon said this, Jehovah Shalom. You know what Shalom means, right? Peace. The Lord bring peace. That was the cry of Gideon. Well, Gideon's cry will finally be answered and heard, and the Lord will bring peace. And that one that will come, Isaiah 9, verse 6, again, it is speaking of the Lord Jesus. And of course, the problem was that at his first advent, when we read from that passage in Luke chapter 2 about the coming one who peace on earth, goodwill towards men, the problem is that that peace on earth was wrapped up in that babe in Bethlehem. And when Jesus came, the world said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And because they rejected the one in whom peace was embodied, then they forfeited the possibility of peace. Isaiah 9:6, very familiar verse this time of year. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, in order to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Don't you just love that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to bring about a time in history where Jesus will reign as the Prince of Peace on the earth. That's coming. It is coming. And it's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read from Zechariah and chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. And just a delightful verse here, Zechariah 9, verse 9 and 10. We're familiar with verse 9. It's one that refers to the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. Ephraim's the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. And the Lord is saying, when this one comes, this king coming to them, he's going to basically disarm Israel, and the horse from Jerusalem and the battle bow shall be cut off. In other words, I'm going to disarm the nation of Israel, and he shall speak peace to the heathen. He shall speak peace to the Gentiles, the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. And so this one is going to bring peace. The Lord will bring peace. Back in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10, there's an indication of just how peaceful it's going to be when he comes. Zechariah 3:10 says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." This, I love this verse. To me, it's an idyllic scene. Everybody's kind of, just to use my sanctified imagination, they're swinging under their hammock, under their vine and under their fig tree, enjoying the fruits of their labor without fear of anything happening. Now, how do I know that that's what that verse means? Well, I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 4, where that verse or that phrase was used for the first time. And in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 4, verse 25, it describes the reign of Solomon. David's reign was a reign of conflict and war. In fact, he couldn't build the temple because the Bible says he was a man of war. But when Solomon came after David, it was a time of unprecedented peace. And verse 25 of 1 Kings 4 says, "Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." In other words, there was a time where it was just peace and prosperity during Solomon. And let me tell you, when Jesus comes, a greater than Solomon will be here. And there will be a time of unprecedented peace for 1,000 years when Jesus reigns. We like to sing that, don't we? Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. And Jesus will reign in the very place of his rejection, where they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." God has said, "Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion." And Jesus will reign. And Satan will not deceive the nations at all during those 1,000 years. It will be a time of great prosperity and blessing. Religious confusion will come to an end. Zechariah 14, spending a lot of time in Zechariah, that's because it's one of my favorite books, so forgive me for that. Zechariah 14, 9, it says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, in his name one." I love the thought of that verse. End of political confusion. The Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. End of religious confusion. There'll be one Lord, and his name one. See, there's lots of people out there claiming this one's Lord and that one's Lord. I remember going back to the Beatles. I remember George Harrison bringing out "My Sweet Lord." And as a naive Roman Catholic boy, I thought, wow, this is amazing. The Beatles have discovered Christianity. But then I listened carefully, and George Harrison's Lord was Hare Krishna. It wasn't Jesus Christ. But you see, there's a day coming No religious confusion. One Lord, and his name one. What do you think his name will be? I know who it will be. It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a longing for peace. But can we just say this, that right now, there won't be any world peace because Jesus is still rejected. But we can offer people individual peace. That's why we started with that text. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And when individuals accept Jesus as their personal Savior, something amazing happens. You see, there's no righteousness, there's no peace. But then, Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith. What does justified mean? Therefore, being declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, let me just say this. I'm going to say it carefully. N-O, righteousness, equals N-O, peace. K-N-O-W, righteousness, K-N-O-W, peace. See, you can know righteousness. Not your own, but you can know it by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You can be declared righteous and know that I have a right standing before a holy God. And with that right standing before a holy God comes peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Father, we thank you that even though the world doesn't know peace, that those of us that know the Lord Jesus, we've come to know.